Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verses 10 to 17, which we've read before, but we're just looking at one part of the armor of God. Today it's the gospel boots, I'm calling them. So Ephesians 6 and from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Christians love the gospel, and Christians want to make the gospel known. We think of people who are not saved, and our hearts go out to them. That loved one, our neighbours, colleagues, fellow students, we want them to be saved. That's part of what it is to be a Christian. You know when someone's a Christian because they long for others to know that salvation that's touched your heart. And we wish that we could speak such words that would persuade people to believe in the Lord Jesus. We feel burdened for them, and yet at the same time, we feel quite inadequate. Though we want people to be saved, we feel hindered by our inability, maybe our shyness or fear to speak, maybe our lack of compassion. All too often our motivation can be quite low. And all of that makes us feel even more inadequate. What are we to do? Well, God's word tells us, stand firm with your feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. If you want to be ready to get up and go, you need to have the right footwear. Flip-flops are fine when you're on holiday at the beach, but they're not much good when there's a job to be done. A nurse needs comfortable footwear that won't slip on the hospital floors and will enable the nurse to walk up and down those wards all day. A lumberjack needs strong leather logger boots with a good grip and steel toe caps. A mountaineer doesn't wear ordinary trainers, but specialized boots that when needed will be able to fit the crampons when there's lots of ice. You need the right footwear for the right job. So too for the Roman soldier. His boots, called caligae. Amara's been telling me all about this because she learnt it from Asterix. There you go. Caligae, bit of Latin for you. And these were just what the Roman soldier needed. In fact, sometimes Roman soldiers were called the caligati, which means the booted ones. These were unique boots just worn by Roman soldiers, made of thick leather and cut out with some of the leather becoming straps that would be wrapped around the soldiers' ankles, holes made in it so there'd be enough sufficient air, but tough boots. And the interesting thing about them, which I didn't realize before, they had hobnails nailed into the sole of this boot, and then another layer over that so you wouldn't have the nails poking into you. And those nails were a bit like 80-odd studs. You know, think of football boots with its eight or whatever studs. Well, these were the earliest studs that you could come across. We talk still about hobnail boots, don't we? With little nails. That would give firm grip and enable them to walk many miles without wearing out the leather of the boots. Now, what does it mean for us? We talk about these boots. What does it actually mean to wear gospel boots rather than flip-flops? How do we get ready to go and preach the gospel? I've got four headings. Firstly, gospel boots are the peace that we have with God and the message that we bring. We've seen this double meaning before with the armor of God, the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. There's a kind of double meaning with each of them. There's an objective truth, the truth of the gospel, the truth about God, and there's a subjective truth, our truthfulness, our sincerity, having a true heart. So there's the belt of truth, both speaks of gospel truth and our truthfulness, sincerity. We thought last week about the breastplate of righteousness, and there was a similar thing there. There's the righteousness of Christ that is given to us as we put our faith in Christ, something we've received, something given to us, justification, but it's also our righteous life. And of course, the one leads to the other. Justification will lead to a changed life, just as knowing the objective truth of the gospel will make us truthful people, people of sincerity. Without the first, you have no assurance. Without Christ's righteousness, without the solidity of God's truth, you have no assurance. Without the second, you're weakened because of sin. Without a life of righteousness, you're weakened. Without that sincerity of heart, you'll just pretend, even a hypocrite. So both are important, this double meaning. And I think there's a similar thing when it comes to this, these gospel boots. Look at verse 15. Stand firm with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I think gospel of peace is something that we put on, like boots, but it's also something that enables us to speak. It's the message that we bring. When our feet are shod with the gospel of peace, it gives us a confidence to advance. The two go together. We receive the gospel, our hearts are filled with peace, but we also speak that gospel, bringing that message to others. It gives us a confidence, a motivation. It enables us, it helps us to go out. And so the two go together, just as with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. So with this military footwear. And so in the book of Ephesians, we see both of these aspects. The peace that we have with God through the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 2, in the very greeting that Paul gives them. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. You come to chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It speaks of how once we were far away, we've been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. We were far from God, we were enemies of God, but Christ has made us, reconciled us with God. He is our peace. We're at peace with God. But it also speaks about bringing the message of peace to others. So chapter 6, back here in chapter 6, verse 19, it goes on, pray also for me, says Paul, that whenever I speak words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. An ambassador was someone who represented a king or a government to another country. And when this word, the only other time it's used, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, Paul writes this, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. So the ambassador is bringing a message of reconciliation, a message of peace. This is Paul's role. This is the preacher's role. This is the Christian's role. We're ambassadors for Christ, bringing a message of peace, urging people to be reconciled to God. We read from Isaiah 52, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, who bring peace. You see it all tied together. So I think it's both of these two things. We have peace with God through the gospel. That in turn is a message that we want to bring, a message of peace, message of reconciliation. So that's the kind of teaching bit. Now let's get to some of the practical things. So my next heading, the gospel of peace gives us peace. Let's think about the peace that we have, what the gospel does to us. We have peace with God. Once we were his enemies, once we hated God, once we served the evil one, we may not have been aware of it, but before you were a Christian, you were part of the kingdom of darkness, doing the will of Satan, children of the devil, as Jesus described those who sin. But now we've been reconciled. We have peace with God. Once we were ill at ease. Our lives didn't click. We were never satisfied because we weren't who we're supposed to be. But now, having been reconciled to God, we have a true peace, an inner peace. We see a world out there that's full of discord and despair, of hatred and hurt. Why? Because the world is not reconciled to God. And when you're not reconciled to God, you are ill at ease, and the world is full of quarrels and wars, of hatred and despair. But we've been reconciled to God. Our consciences are at peace. The guilt has been removed. Our fear of death has gone. Whatever happens to us, we know peace. That is a wonderful thing. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years and you kind of got used to it. But it's a wonderful thing. You know, as you get older, as I am, turned 60 this year. And if I weren't a Christian, I would be thinking, do you know what? I've only got a few more years and then what? Whereas when you're a Christian, your heart is at peace as you get older because you think, soon I'll be with the Lord in heaven. It gives us a peace. One thing after another may go wrong, but the gospel of peace tells me what really matters. It gives us a confidence. The busy mother comforting one child, correcting the other, still has peace in her heart. That can also give her patience with those children. Here's another one who's afraid, fearful of the future, thinking, how will I ever get through life? Things are so difficult. The financial problems, the climate change, all the things that seem stacked against young people these days. The gospel of peace means you are not paralyzed. You have hope. You know what really matters. The gospel of peace gives us peace. But the peace that the gospel gives us is also between one another. There's such an emphasis on this in Ephesians that I cannot think but that these gospel boots must include that sense of peace together with one another. Chapters 2 and 3 and 4, so much about unity, especially in the church between Jew and Gentile back then in Ephesus, but between all believers. We're brought near to God, but in being brought near to God, we're brought near to one another. We're at peace with one another. And this is God's great plan in the gospel, to reconcile us to himself and to make one new humanity, one new people of God, comprising of Jew and Gentile, a people from every nation and tribe. Through the church, united in Christ, God displays his wisdom to the rulers and authorities. Chapter 3, verse 10. This is God's great purpose. The peace that he brings between believers, that unity, do you know, it sends shudders down the devil's spine because he knows that he is losing. He wants to bring discord and division of hatred, and the gospel brings peace between people. What a wonderful thing. To be at peace with one another, for there to be love, for there to be shared purpose, instead of animosity and discord, and the devil hates it. Now, the Romans were famous for their roads and for their legionaries. And as they marched on those flagstones of their Roman roads with their hobnailed calligae, you can just imagine the sound. Let's say you're a Roman town under siege. And in the distance, you hear the rhythmic thud, thud, thud of those boots on the Roman road. Can you hear it? And it's getting louder as that legionary gets closer. Hundreds of soldiers coming to help you, coming to liberate you, coming with peace, marching in unison. That sound at first distant, then louder, it would have brought hope to their own people and despair to their enemies. You see the unity between those soldiers as they walk, march together. Our unity troubles the enemy. The very sound of it brings fear. And at the same time, it's a testimony of hope to the world. By this will all people know that you are my disciples, when you have love for one another. When Christians are united, when they're at peace together, the world looks on. How is that possible? Maybe I could know that peace. It gives hope. And so, strong gospel boots give us a personal confidence in God, but also a unity with each other. As we fill our hearts with God's peace and are united with one another, we are made ready to reach out with the gospel. So let's come to our next heading. The gospel of peace gives us confidence. Gives us peace, peace with one another, peace with God, but it also gives us a confidence to reach out. Look at verse 15 again. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There's a readiness that it brings. It prepares you. The gospel of peace prepares you. It gives you a confidence. We have peace with God. We're now part of his kingdom. We're now serving God. We're no longer serving the devil. The gospel of peace prepares you, gives you that readiness, gives you strength, gives you purpose. Now imagine some robber breaking into the king's castle. Of course, he goes at night under the cover of darkness, and he's so wary. He's fearful. His heart is racing at every little sound, because he's not supposed to be there, and the place is heavily guarded. He's afraid. He's not at peace. What a contrast with the guards in that castle. They are meant to be there. They're in the right place, and they're in the right. They're confident. And this is the difference. You see, once we were the enemies, once we were the intruders, but now we're God's people. We're meant to be there. We've got a role. And instead of feeling like intruders in God's presence, the gospel has made us as one of his own. Not only that, we're here in his world. This world belongs to God. We are one of God's own. Jesus has been given all authority. And what does he do with that authority? He sends his church to make disciples of all nations. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You see, the gospel gives us a confidence to evangelize. It makes us God's ambassadors of peace. Many years ago, I went with someone else from church to invite people to the carol service. This was back in Wales. And the question came up, well, was it okay to knock on people's doors? You know, disturb people, knock on their doors. Is that okay to do that? Now, of course, you want to be wise. You want to be winsome and polite. Knock on the door and make sure you smile, not frighten people away. And you definitely don't do it at nighttime, you know. Little old granny having to open the door in the middle of the night. Well, not the middle of the night. You do it appropriately, sensitive, but you do it. Why? Because the gospel gives you the desire and also the readiness to reach out. The Lord has told us to go. That's what boots are all about. You go somewhere. Boots are made for walking, and so you go. The armor of God, we're there to stand. But that doesn't mean being passive. Maybe you watched the semi-final between England and Argentina. And they were criticized, weren't they, for being too defensive after going 1-0 up. And in the end, they lost. And not all the armor of God is defensive. The sword of the Spirit is clearly an attacking weapon. And I think also the gospel boots, we're to go. It gives you a confidence to get out there and go. Lastly, the gospel of peace is our message and our motive. The devil likes to attack, likes to cause trouble, to divide, to destroy, to bring despair. And remember, our struggle is against him and against the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. It's not against flesh and blood. We are not attacking people. It's so important to remember that. UN soldiers are sometimes called peacemakers or peacekeepers. They're allowed to use force, but they're there to protect. They're there to uphold a peace. And that's more of the picture of what it is to be a Christian soldier with this armor of God. We're peacekeepers. We're bringing a message of peace. We're trying to undo the turmoil and despair and fear and division and hurt that the devil brings. We're here to do good to all people. And there is no greater good that you can do to someone than to give them the gospel of peace. A message that they can be reconciled to God, that their lives, their communities can be turned around. And what a difference it makes when missionaries go to a community that's never had the gospel before. We're reading the story of Adoniram Judson, who went as a missionary to Burma. We were horrified to read that when a new king was appointed, as part of his inauguration, he had 1,400 people put to death, thinking that somehow this would promote his own life. What darkness! What horrific things happen in the name of other religions. The gospel of peace brings blessing, brings good, helps a community. We have a great message to bring to the world. We are ambassadors of peace. And I hope we'll see each other as that. Great that we've got those going to beach missions, praying for the interaction camp in France, Rio working with international students. Let's be encouraged to keep going out with the gospel of peace. I was doing a Bible study this week, and just talking about how great God is, starting in Genesis, the creator of this whole universe. God who is from eternity to eternity. And why does he create the universe? He doesn't need us. He doesn't need the universe. It's been there for eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but in his love, he creates. And as I talked about that and how God made us because of love, I just said, how does that make you feel? And the reply was, well, that makes me feel special. That's a great message we've got to tell people. What a great message. We're not here telling people that they're awful and then leaving it at that. Yes, we have to tell them about their sin, but we tell them about God's love. We tell them about Christ, how God sent his Son to reconcile us to himself again. Do you remember your first football boots or your first hiking boots? When I was a little boy, I saved up and I bought my first football boots. I was so proud of those. I wore them in bed. But I didn't want to just wear them in bed. I was eager to get out to do football training. And that's what good boots do. They motivate you. You want to get out there. Buy a new pair of hiking boots. You want to go for a long, long walk, don't you? And when you put on these gospel boots, you're inspired. You want to get out there. You want to share this message of Jesus. And so the more we think about him, the more we consider the gospel, the more it grips our hearts, it prepares us. It makes us ready. It motivates us to get out there and to share this gospel. Stand firm then, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. When you feel little motivation to tell others, go back to the gospel. Go back to Jesus. Think about what he's done for you. Think about how great this message is. And think, even though my words may be stumbling, I can say something that will remind people, will tell people that there is a God out there who loves them. Let's pray.